out to your holy hill, and we come to worship you and worship you alone. You are the Holy One, the Mighty and Exalted One. Purify us with your holy fire. We offer you our lives as a living sacrifice. We've come to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. May you be praised, Father, honored, glorified during this time of worship, for we surrender to your sovereign will. O Yahweh, you are Elohim. You are the Mighty One, the El of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We thank you, Father, that you are forever faithful. You do exceedingly abundantly over anything that we could think, ask, or even imagine. Let it be known today that you are Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Track there by marking it on the 3rd. We the 3rd, and we will have wonderful fellowship there the remaining week that will be in Murphy, North Carolina. Also, we've got a lot of things to tell you about in our secret meetings, where we will announce to you some things that have gone on since that we have talked to you since our last fellowship meeting there in Passover in Murphy, North Carolina. So we've got a lot of great things coming down. The weather's going to be beautiful. The foliage there in the area is going to be absolutely breathtaking, beautiful. The motels are filled, so if you need to make reservations, you need to do so within the next week or so, that you can get your lodging fixed up there. And if you're going to camp out, you need to know where you're going to be, and so on and so forth. So if you need our mailing address, it's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you'd like to call me for directions, area code 423-626-2172. Now, for those of you that have already got lodging for the Friday night, you'll just have to hang tight there, because this is the best we could do in getting the fellowship hall ready on Saturday instead of a Friday night. If there's any change to that, I'll let you know when the Minister of Defense passes that word on over to me, and we'll know. But I believe it's the 3rd. If there's any change to that, I'll notify you when Odell, when he notifies me. Him and his beautiful war bride over there, Miss Virginia. Praise Yahweh on the other side of the mountain there. Well, tonight, we got a great program for you, and tonight's broadcast is going to be part 3 of the modern identity of Ephraim. We're going to start right where we left off, and we're going to begin in the greatness of Ephraim. Now, Jacob prophesied that the younger brother, Ephraim, was to be greater than his older brother, Manasseh. Now, Manasseh was the firstborn, and he was the older brother. Now, if you look at the nations, which nation is older than the United States? Is it the United States or Great Britain? That fact alone should tell you that Great Britain was the older brother. Manasseh, which was to be great, and even has the word great in its name, unlike any other country on the earth today. But what about the United States? Is it greater than Great Britain? Even as Ephraim was to be greater than Manasseh, let's face this question honestly and squarely without pride, pretense, or hypocrisy. The United States is, beyond all doubt, the wealthiest nation in the world in terms of resources, businesses, assets, and gross national produce. Although we have also become the world's biggest debtor nation by far due to our sins and the people running our government and our living beyond our means during the past decade, we have attached our people, and the ruling elite have given us an enormous debt with unfair money. That means that we are using a Federal Reserve note, which creates debt instead of gold and silver, which eliminates debt. And we comprise only 6% of the world's population, yet we control over 40% of the world's wealth. We are the breadbasket of the world. Our gross national product is over $5 trillion annually. Either California or New York, just one of the states listed in the United States, either California or New York could be the world's 5th or 6th largest, richest nation in the world. The state of Illinois produces more than the entire continent of Africa. That just gives you something to compare of how wonderful, wealthy. We have a 40% of the world's wealth. We're the breadbasket of the world. Our gross national product is much over $5 trillion. And California or New York could be the world's fifth or sixth largest, richest nation in the world. Illinois produces more than the entire continent of Africa. Come on, folks. The eighth industrial state, or the eight industrial states from New York to Illinois, produce as much as the common market, the Soviet Union, or all of Latin America, Africa, and most of Asia except Japan, and the Middle East combined. The greatness of America versus that of Great Britain. Jacob plainly and clearly says that Ephraim was to be greater than Manasseh. And how do we get that Manasseh is Ephraim? Great Britain, ladies and gentlemen, is Manasseh, and the United States is Ephraim, with the richest nation in the world by far, much greater, because he said Ephraim would be greater than Great Manasseh, or Great Britain. It's greater by far. Britain is now a second-rate power. The United States is the greatest and most powerful nation the world has ever known. Younger Ephraim was to be greater than his older brother Manasseh. This is just common sense, ladies and gentlemen. This alone, apart from anything else, should conclusively settle the question of which is Ephraim and which is Manasseh. Ephraim's national wealth and prosperity in the end time was prophesied by Hosea. When the great prophet Hosea foretold, Ephraim boast, I am very rich. I have become wealthy. With all my wealth, they will not find in me any iniquity or sin. Hosea 12:8. It has been the United States which has soared to the status of the richest of nations in the end times, not Great Britain. The comparison in national wealth is meaningless. There is no comparison. The economy of the United States has been the engine that has driven the free world since the end of World War II. It has led to post-war recovery of the entire Western world. Further, there is no comparison in military power between the two nations here in the last days. Hosea prophesied of Ephraim, better known as the United States of America. When Ephraim spoke, men trembled. He was exalted in Israel, but he became guilty of Baal worship, and he died. Now, we sin more and more. We make idols for ourselves from our silver, cleverly fashioned images, all of them the work of craftsmen, Hosea 13:1-2. And some have suggested that since the United States is obviously greater than Britain, when Ephraim was prophesied to be greater, can be explained by the fact that Ephraim was to be a company of nations, whereas Manasseh was to be the greater single nation. But that is not what the prophecy said, ladies and gentlemen. Jacob plainly said, without equivocation, nevertheless, his younger brother, Ephraim, will be greater than he. Genesis 48:19. You see that? Nevertheless, his younger brother, Ephraim, will be greater. That Manasseh would be great. And Great Britain is the boundaries of Manasseh. His younger brother, the United States, or Ephraim, would be greater. Now, notice the time sequence of Jacob's blessing. Manasseh, he mentioned first that he would be great. And then he mentioned Ephraim, that he would be greater than his brother. Time-wise, therefore, you will see that Manasseh was to shoot to greatness first. But even as Great Britain did, but then later his younger brother Ephraim was to shoot past him and surpass him in greatness and in wealth and military might. Ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at Ephraim, the descendant land of Ephraim promised by the prophetic utterance of Hosea and by our prophet Jacob in Genesis 48 and 49. This is incredible. It's just what happened. Britain became a great country first, but then America suddenly grew up and burst her bonds and became the economic, industrial, and military colossus of the world. The greatest United States the world has ever seen in all its history. What an amazing, incredible fulfillment of Jacob's prophecy, uttered almost 4,000 years ago, before his death in Genesis 35:11. Jacob told his progeny that would become a nation and a community of nations. Notice, which came first? Well, of course, the single nation. And then the community of nations, or the United States, were to follow. Again, this is exactly what history records. The single nation, Great Britain, came first historically and was great. And Britain ruled the waves. The British pound was an international currency, and the sun never set on the British Empire. But when the Company of Nations, or United States, followed and surpassed the greatness of the British Empire at its height, after World War II, no nation and no empire could compete with the United States of America. It ruled the sea lanes of the world. Its currency, the dollar, was the foundation of the international trade. Thus, Ephraim, the United States, surpassed his older brother, Manasseh, of Great Britain. Ladies and gentlemen, you're just going to have to, you know, just get factual here. Now, we know that the British Empire used to rule the seas and the world. But Yahweh, being concerned with end time in Bible prophecy and the time that we're living in, that Bible is written now says that not 100 or 200 years ago or more, to explain Britain's supposedly being Ephraim by saying that Britain was at one time greater than the United States. That she used to be greater in the 1800s is entirely unsatisfactory. What about now? Prophecy was written for the 20th century, not the 18th or 19th. One of the strongest and most persistent objections to the whole Anglo-Israel theory is the fact of Britain's decline and current second-rate status. Yet it confirms modern Israel's true identity and the truth of Jacob's words if we realize that our nation, the United States, is Ephraim. Yes, it has a population explosion. One of the tremendous blessings that God promised the descendants of Israel in the end time was great fertility and fruitfulness, the blessings of the womb, which is mentioned in Genesis 17 and 6, 22 and 17, and Deuteronomy 28 and verse 4. Jacob referred to Joseph as a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall, Genesis 49:22. The descendants of Israel. Now listen to this now. If you say, I'm going to Israel, everybody gets on the boat for the sandbox. Instead of staying right where they're at in Israel, which is the house of Ephraim, a covenant nation of peoples, 50 nations, gathered together as a company of nations, becoming the great and the most populous, doubly fruitful Israelitish nation. Who is it, ladies and gentlemen, other than the United States of America? And that's what Pastor Buddy is giving you tonight in proof that you are now, if you are in America, hold your peace. Do not do anything rash to go out of his way. Wait for the end time gathering of the brethren. An east wind from Yahweh will come, blowing it from the desert. His spring will fail, and his well dry up. His storehouse will be plundered of all its treasures. Hosea 13:15. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. God foretold in Hosea 4:7 that these scriptures show that Ephraim was to be the most fruitful of all the tribes of Israel and the most populous. The only nation descended from ancient Israel which can truly fit this description today is the United States of America. Ephraim, double fruitful. If the United States is not Ephraim, then who is? It has a flourishing population. It can also refer to the rate of growth. The growth rate of the United States has been nothing short of phenomenal. From virtually nothing to 240 million in only 200 years. That's up to 350 million. During the time, Britain has grown from 15 million to 60 million. Four times. But the United States has grown from a population of 3,240,000 in 1784 to 240 million in the same length of time, an exponential population growth of nearly 70 times. No country in history has the lack of the United States. We have literally come out of nowhere and literally exploded in population growth and power, both military and economic. Truly, the United States. Modern Ephraim has experienced a dramatic population increase. It has lived up to its name and is doubly fruitful. We have vast natural resources. We have promised, recall, that God promised outstanding natural resources and blessing to the descendants of Joseph, Ephraim, and to Manasseh. With Ephraim receiving the double portion as the birthright son of the two, this promise, and this alone, keeps me in America. Gives me hope that there is going to be deliverance in the time of trouble such as the world has never seen. You will see Yahweh lay his hand upon America. All of the sin and all of the Balaam pulpits that have arisen in America, all the vast valleys, the glorious beauty that is set in fertile valleys to the greatest cities on the earth today. It is known as the breadbasket of the world. Now, which of the two is known for its abundant wine production? Britain is famous for its ale and beer, and Scotland for its whiskey, but the United States is world famous for its wines. Now, every state in the Union, just about, is now making and growing wine in the United States. California has some of the best wine at the cheapest price in the world. Now, let me give you something. The birthright of Ephraim, we read in 1 Chronicles 5:2, the rights of the firstborn belongs to Joseph. And Ephraim inherited the birthright of his father Joseph. Ephraim was dispersed in 721 B.C. with the 10 tribes of Israel. It led these countries into the west through the Caucasus Mountains. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we live in the most beautiful, promised covenant land, although it has been taken over sleep. And the enemy would come in and seize the blessings of Jacob by the neck and choke out the life of Jacob Israel until we went into a sleeping stupor, only to be awakened at the appointed moment of the book of Romans 11:25 and verse 26. That's chapter 11 of Romans 11, verse 25 and 26. Thou shalt come out of Zion, out of America. Thou shalt come a prophet that shall raise up in the last days and deliver Israel from its sleepiness, and shall give evidence of the trueness of the prophetic son of Joseph, Ephraim, that would make itself known as the flower and glorious beauty in a nation more famous for its glorious beauty, its natural scenery, from sea to shining sea, from the redwoods of the sequoias of California to the majestic waters of Niagara Falls, to the Blue Ridge Mountains of Tennessee, to the Mojave Desert, from the Grand Canyon of the Colorado to the painted pots and geysers of Yellowstone, from the Great Tetons of Wyoming to the towering granite spears of Yosemite, from the Everglades of Florida to the Texas Big Bend country to the waters of Waikiki, Hawaii. No country on the face of the earth can compare with the glorious beauty of Ephraim, the United States of America. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Oh, crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, my. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her, Yahweh, and guide her with the light from the light from above. This land is your land. This land is my land, from the Gulf Stream waters to the New York Island. This land is made for you and me. Singing these inspiring, rich, bountiful songs, and yet do we little realize that we are singing the songs of Ephraim, the youngest son of Joseph, who was to inherit the blessing of the firstborn, the glorious beauty of Ephraim, and the glorious, all-inspiring beauty of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go from sea to shining sea. You can actually go from the Northern Cascades to Mount Rainier, in the Glacier Park in Montana, Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons in Wyoming. You can drop down to the canyon lands, the arches of the National Monument, the Bryce Canyon, Zion National Park. Here in the Smoky Mountains Park, it is the world's most visited park. People from everywhere. Actually, most of the people in the United States are within 15 hours of the centrally located, beautiful Smoky Mountains where we live right here. I live right at the foothills of the Smokies, right at the base of the Cumberland Mountains. I can see over to the north, and looking east, I can see the beautiful Clinch Mountains that are actually the foothills of the Smokies, and then beyond the beautiful mountains of the Clinch, I can see the Great Smoky Mountains. It is the world's most visited park. It is an awesome place of nature. Oh, my. Oh, my. You know, we have to confess our national sins. We need to pray for forgiveness. We need to understand how the Hosea, the prophet, describes the blessing that would come to Ephraim as the recipient of the blessings of the firstborn of Israel and then to all Israel. And God says of Ephraim, I have seen Ephraim like Tyre, planted in a pleasant place. Hosea 9:13. What nation on earth has a more pleasant place than the United States? Do you know any territory in the world that you would swap acre for acre, river for river, ocean for ocean? The land within its borders of the United States would measure up and far exceed and surpass any that you could mention. What mercantile city today more resembles ancient Tyre than the mercantile hub of the ancient world as New York City? The allusions to the identity of modern Ephraim, the United States, why were the vast, far-flung resources of North America left virtually untapped and unused for millennia until the arrival of the Anglo-Saxon descendants of ancient Jacob of Israel? The peoples of Ephraim and Manasseh. It was a manifest destiny, as our forefathers preached and believed. Moses was inspired to write in Deuteronomy 32, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. Deuteronomy 32:8. Yahweh reserved the choice portions of the earth for the birthright tribe of Israel. He gave the beautiful North American continent to the sons of Joseph Ephraim. The part belonging to the United States and Canada, the portion he reserved for Manasseh and some of the children of Reuben. Interestingly, it was Joshua, an Ephraimite, who led the children of Israel into the promised land. Today, America is a new promised land. Millions of foreigners strive to immigrate here, legally or illegally, regarding this fair land as the last hope for mankind. Interesting also that Joseph was the older, or was the brother that was separated from his brother. Deuteronomy 33:16. Modern Joseph also is separated from his brothers and other Israelitish nations by the vast Atlantic Ocean. Only Ephraim and a portion of Manasseh are located on the North American continent, thus separated from their brother nations in northwestern Europe. Hosea says of Ephraim, he's like a wild donkey. He's wandering alone. Hosea 8:9. Balaam said of Israel, I see a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Numbers 23:9-10. When Ephraim was born, Joseph gave him the name, saying, it is because God hath made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Genesis 41:52. And like his father Joseph, Ephraim has been the fruitful land of his affliction or early suffering. The early colonials in North America underwent extreme privation and troubles before the foundation was laid for a new land and a new nation. We built it upon sweat and blood and hope and prayer to find ourselves the religious freedom that we have longed for. And by finding it, we didn't guard it. We didn't watch over it. We didn't pray. We didn't seek his faith. When we got rich and fat, we forgot our Father. Now return unto me, O sinful Israel. Trust in the one who made you. Notice, Manasseh means causing to forget. When he was born, Joseph said that he named him Manasseh because God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household. Notice how this name reveals the true nature of Manasseh. Britain, the older of the two sons, was truly forgotten, all of his father's household, and even his national identity. Despite all the evidence around them, there are the historical records and legends of Jeremiah bringing the king's daughters to Ireland, where Princess Tia married into the royal line already established by early Israelites. That was the name of Tara, the ancient Irish capital meaning Torah, which was the stone of scone of Jacob's pillar and its tradition and history. That were the royal genealogies, which traced the British monarchy back to the line of King David. That was the very name British itself, which is the Hebrew for covenant man. And the very name Saxons, which derived from the sons of Isaac. Over the centuries, God caused ancient Israel to go into captivity. And while there, they eventually lost their true identity, being far removed from the land of Palestine. And Yahweh later released their captivity and led them to their new inheritance in the Western Europe, the British Isles, and then to the New World, America. He blessed them. He caused them to become great. But Manasseh, despite all the legends, history, and evidence, lost the knowledge of his own identity and forgot who he really was, just as his name implies. Here, there, then, is more evidence that Manasseh is Great Britain and Ephraim is the United States of America. These biblical allusions, which fit perfectly for two peoples being descended from Joseph, both dwelling apart as did it from his brother, who was separated from his brother, Deuteronomy 33:16, it was Joseph dwelling apart from the old world countries. In the firstborn, or the island of England, and in the New World, the Western Hemisphere, the coastlands of Ephraim, the prophet Isaiah was inspired of God to write, "Ephraim is my firstborn." Jeremiah 31:9. He was to dwell in the northlands and the ends of the earth. Verse 8. He was to dwell in the isles afar off. Verse 10. And the coastlines of Isaiah 49:1. What description better fits the United States with its longest habitable coastline of any nation? It is in the northern hemisphere. It is afar off and at the ends of the earth from Jerusalem, and is a long and valuable coastland. No other land can combine all these qualifications like the United States, which is modern Ephraim. When God scattered his people in 718 or 721 B.C., he drove them along the peoples of the earth. Yet in distant lands they will remember me, he foretold in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 9. When they have gone to distant lands, they will remember me. Oh my. There is a small group in the last days. You see it forming in America, shouting the praises, restoring the kingdom, building altars, cursing and blessing with full authority, for whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Likewise, whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Stand silent before me, coastlands, and let nations renew their strength. Isaiah 41:1. The United States, free from the yoke of European wars and oppression and the weakening influence of pagan religion, receives a new birth in a new land of pristine opportunity with magnificent wealth, free from the stifling influence of paganism and heathen customs. God literally brought his people Ephraim to distant lands and coastlands. The same Hebrew word yam is translated sea and west. Therefore, the islands of the sea, or coastlands of the sea, could just as readily be translated as coastlands of the west. And needless to say, the United States is a coastland of the west. Far west of Jerusalem, Isaiah writes, look, they are coming from afar. These are from the north and the west. And these from the land of Sunem, Isaiah 49:12. If you draw a line due north of Jerusalem to the north pole and due west and followed both of them till they intersected, the section of the globe carved out would include Europe and North America. The portion of the globe which includes most of the Israeli nations of the earth, the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, Switzerland, Holland, Belgium, France. Hosea, the prophet, that to Ephraim wrote, Ephraim feeds on the wind. He pursues the east wind all day. Hosea 12:1. The east wind blows west. Thus Ephraim was prophesied to move to the west of Jerusalem. The United States lies in part due west of modern-day Israel and Jerusalem. God says of his firstborn son Ephraim, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I turn and devastate Ephraim. For I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not come in wrath. They will follow Yahweh. He will roar like a lion. And when he roars, his children will come trembling from the west. Hosea 11:8. Right there it is, ladies and gentlemen. They will come trembling from the west. And you will begin to see a shaking in the land of America. The covenant people are now beginning to emerge from a long lost, offsetting sleep and slumber. Yet in the time of trouble, under the most severest of pressure, the diamonds in the rough are being cut and polished to stand out as the gems in a signet and ring, where we will be the headband of faith and holiness without which no man shall ever see Yahweh. When we look carefully at a map of the globe, we find that the northern hemisphere and the western hemisphere, North America, most perfectly fulfills the description of coastlands afar off to the north and the west of Jerusalem. To really put it bluntly, any reference which can apply to British or Britain applies even more forcelessness to the United States. And to the far northwest from Jerusalem, we come to America's 49th state, the state of Alaska, the largest state of all. In ancient times, Manasseh was divided into two parts. One part dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and one part went with Ephraim and settled near them. It's very interesting that in modern times, part of Manasseh chose to come, but to remain in England under Britain, while many others chose to come to the New World and settled in Canada to become near of modern Ephraim. These parallels that I give you, ladies and gentlemen, are too striking to ignore. It means something, and what it means is that you are in, above all, a coveted nation. You are here where no geographical, social, or racial barriers separate our two nations. Canada occupies a larger land area than the United States. But West Manasseh's land area was larger than Ephraim's. West Manasseh had 10 portions of Canaan. Canada has 10 provinces. West Manasseh's land area was larger than that of Ephraim's, and today Canada is larger than the United States. No geographical, social, or racial barriers separate our two nations. We speak a common language. We're each other's best trade partner. We're like brothers. Moses said of Joseph's descendants, such are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and such are as the thousands of Manasseh. Deuteronomy 33:17. The population of the United States and Canada are about 280 million. And 26 million, respectively. A ratio of 10 to 1. Just like the ratio or proportion used by Moses. The 2,520 years of punishment. The leader of the 10-tribe northern kingdom of Israel was the tribe of Ephraim, whose capital was in Samaria. The 10-nationed kingdom went into exile in 718 B.C. by the Assyrians. That's in 1 Kings 17, by the way. They were to be punished seven times for their sins, Leviticus 26:18, 21, 24, and 28. A time equals a year in fulfillment of prophecy, Revelations 12:6, 14, and 16. A promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and it is our nation which has received these blessings. The ending of the seven-times period of 2,520 years punishment marks the emergence of Ephraim alone as a separate nation in its own right. Apart from all other Israeli nations that are located throughout Europe, the time period of 2,520 years punishment marks the emergence of Ephraim alone as a separate nation in its own right. It is our nation which has had to wait 2,520 years to receive the blessings. And it is also our nation, America, which has received those blessings abundantly, filled to the brim and running over. At first, Ephraim was just one of Israel's 13 tribes. After the split with Judah, Ephraim took its place as leader of the 10-tribe house of Israel. In the centuries following the captivity, Ephraim became particularly allied with his older brother Manasseh, as Jacob had predicted. And together they grew and they prospered in Britain. Britain before 1800 was Joseph. Both Manasseh and Ephraim combined to make it great. Because the Ephraimites were still a part of Britain before the 1800s. But after that, God set Ephraim apart as a sovereign, independent nation, signifying this by giving Ephraim the choice land and the entire world. That's why that the Civil War resulted in defeat for the Confederacy and victory for the Union. That is why the United States is one nation today, not many, divided and conflicted. Independent nations, as it could have been, the history of the growth and preservation of the United States is a story of God's hand dipped into history. The separation of younger Ephraim from Manasseh occurred 200 years ago, and the British nation continued as Manasseh and maintained its position throughout the 1800s as a great empire. Just as the fledgling United States struggled to survive, expand, produce, build, grow, and prosper in the new promised land, and prosper it has. One day, Britain woke up to realize that her empire was gone. Her prestige was vanished, and that she was no longer great. And at the same time, the United States grew until it found itself the greatest nation ever in history. Manasseh has been surpassed by younger Ephraim, according to God's holy word and his holy prophets. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got my message here tonight. Part 3 of the modern nation of Ephraim. The modern identity of Ephraim. Part 3. Now, part 1, we covered the beginning. Part 2, we covered the trials facing America through George Washington's vision. And part 3 tonight, we have showed you that this is a coveted nation and that she will last as long as there's a sun and a moon. Don't worry about America being destroyed. There will be an intervention before that happens, because Yahweh said he would come back and he would destroy them that destroyed the earth. The modern identity of Ephraim. If you like the three-part series, You can just write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here in the coveted land of America, right here in the eastern hills of Tennessee, in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. Know what a beautiful, awesome land we have from sea to shining sea. America, you are so great. But you have surrendered yourself, and you've become the drunkards of Ephraim that is squandering a beautiful inheritance. You let the enemy come in and steal that which was most precious. And now it's time that the prophets in the streets are calling for you to awaken, for you to come back to the old path, to see and ask for it and to find it and to walk in and find this for your soul. There's time. This is the time to return to Yahweh. Repent. Call upon Yahweh and learn of Him today. He's the only one. He's the only one that can give you hope and satisfaction in the time of trouble. We appreciate all of those who have written or called this month. Those of you who are on our email list. Oh, we just love you so much. And we appreciate you so much also. And it is a comfort and a joy to know that we're in His hands and that we're going to overcome. There's going to be like America giving birth to an unwanted child. We don't know what it's going to be. We're hoping for the best, but we expect the worst. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that after a great struggle, in a time of trouble, according to Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, such as the world has never seen, it's coming upon a people that has denied Yahweh and will walk in that great name. They have taken a name of blasphemy and put it in their forehead and in their minds. They call on it as drunkard Ephraim. It's time to sober up and return to Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. As your forefathers went astray, so have you. But I will heal you, O Ephraim, and I will heal you in my land. I have the deed, contract, and the title, and as long as there's a sun and a moon, it belongs to you, Jacob. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll keep my covenant to 1,000 generations. And I'll put a blessing upon the head of my sons and daughters. And you'll know that they're mine because they are called by my name. They'll walk up and down the earth in my name. I will deliver them, for they love me and I know them. They are my people. And I will heal their land. And I will see to it that there will not be one Canaanite left in the time of trouble, according to Zechariah chapter 14. Ladies and gentlemen, what a promise. Don't worry about the infection. Yahweh's got the antidote to cure this miserable Canaanite infection that is grown in the halls of America's system of justice and laws. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never, as long as I can remember, you'll never have the chance or the opportunity like you've got right now to love Him and to call on Him before the time is near, even at the door, for you to reach out and say, Yahweh, I'm not a believer, but I've heard Pastor Buddy tonight teaching about the great expanse of the wondrous blessing covenant that you give to the land of Ephraim, America. Father, give me the knowledge that Pastor Buddy has on who we are. Let me know, Father, in the bottom of my heart that I'm one of your sons and one of your daughters, that I was brought here by my forefathers for a reason. I was sent to this land to dwell, to never leave it, to always love it. It's the breadbasket of the world. It feeds those who are hungry. It opens its doors to its homeless around the world. It is Joseph in a coat of many colors, and yet it still functions as the greatest nation. Ah, dear. You know any place greater than you need to get to it? If you realize what you got, stay with it, because we'll never give it up to the enemy. We will defend it from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. You will find the streets are guarded by the sons and daughters of Yahweh. We're never going to give it up, because it was given to us, and we expect to keep it and to refresh it and to cleanse it and give it back to our Father to whom it belongs. And then He will expel everything that's unclean. In the days when He comes, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Yahweh gives nations and rulers its blessing, its inheritance, and its purpose. And I love you tonight above all things. I pray for you to prosper and be in good health. I'll see you tomorrow night, 11 p.m. on a late call. Talk about Brother Mark and Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11 o'clock. Join me there. The 10 Central, 11 Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh, this is blessed. And I love you, brother.